I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brandon Gregory. I've known Brandon for about 12 years. And Brandon and Lisa were part of Reliance Fellowship back when I was part of Reliance Fellowship. And Lisa led worship there. And Brandon, for a while, did the sound team. He led the youth group. He did all kinds of stuff. Brandon got to serve for quite a while at U Medical and led their fatherhood program and did just an amazing job with that of helping guys in a pretty vulnerable season of life figure out what it meant to be a dad. And Brandon's an exceptional dad himself. And so I'm excited to have him come today. So it was about 3.5 years ago, I believe, that they decided, that they got sent out. It was before that that they decided, but about 3.5 years ago that they were sent out to go to Estonia. And Estonia is one of those North Scandinavian countries that has an exceptionally difficult language to learn, which is what Brandon's been doing. But they were sent out with the International Mission Board, which is the missions arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. And they've been serving over there and learning the language. And I'll let you share more, Brandon. But Brandon and Lisa are really good friends. And we have missed them. And it's so great to have them back in town for next few weeks. And so without anything further, I'm going to welcome Brandon up here to share the word with us.
Let's see. I think I've got...
You have that.
I do.
You don't need this.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a joy and an honor to be with you all. About 11 hours ago, your brothers and sisters in Estonia, they also met for church, and they send their greetings, but they are long done with that, and they're probably sleeping right now. Happy Mother's Day as well. That's a big deal. That's very fun. Lisa and I were planning, plotting, praying about what to share this morning. Like, what is our report back going to be? And 3.5 years is a long time. It's really hard to include all of the stories, so I'm not going to do that. But as we were praying, as we were considering what to share this morning, I read the passage that we read for the scripture reading this morning. It's in James 4:13-17. Let's read that again together. It says this: "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin." We read that, and Lisa about died laughing. It doesn't seem like a funny verse, but it is such a good encapsulation of our time in Estonia, and even going to Estonia. So if you're taking notes, our points are going to be: our plans is point one, point two is going to be uninterruptible living, and point three is going to be God's will. But as we were considering these things, we laughed. Because when we first got married 12 years ago, I said, "I'm done with church." Not church entirely, but I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a missionary. I don't ever want to work in another church office. I was totally burnt out on church. And I had no plans of joining Reliance back in those days. We were living in Indiana. But through God's providence, we ended up at Reliance. And at some point in that first year, Pastor Adam sat down with me, and he slid over this big, bulky folder. And it was information on Gateway Seminary. I had no plans for seminary. In fact, I was emphatically against seminary. But Lisa and I started praying, "God, is this really what you want us to do?" And so we said, "Okay, we're gonna plan for the craziest thing that we can think of, being a part of a church plant in the Tri-Cities. We're gonna prepare for the craziest possible thing you could call us to, God." 6 years later, we were finishing seminary, and we said, okay, we feel like God has laid on our hearts the burden of places in the world that don't have churches, access to church like we have. God really broke our hearts for the places in the world where people are born and they live their entire lives and then they die, never having the opportunity to respond to the gospel. Hearing the good news of Jesus. Like we in the Tri-Cities, we have Christians. Our society, our culture is impacted by Christians faithfully living out their lives according to the will of the Lord. That has impacted every part of our society. Even though sometimes we can feel like it's dark and hopeless, we have opportunity here to hear the gospel. It's not like that in many countries. And so we had planned, okay, we're going to say yes to international missions. We're going to go, we're going to be sent, and Ireland is the place we're going. And I was very specific in my plans. We were going to the southwest corner of Ireland, Bandon Bay. This is where we're going. And so we signed on with the International Mission Board. We started going through the whole process. And all of a sudden, every door slammed in our face. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You've got your plan set, and then it turns out nothing like you planned or imagined. Because like you heard, we're not in Estonia. Or we're not in Ireland. Thank you. We're not in Ireland. We're in Estonia. Which, if you don't know where Estonia is, you're not alone. I had never heard of the country. It's in the east of Europe. There's Finland at the top. Right across the water, there's Estonia on the Russian border. It's a very small country. It's about 1.3 million people. And it's known as one of the most secular places in Europe. And what that means, number-wise, is in a country of 1.3 million people, there's about 10,000, I think generously, about 10,000 people who have responded to the gospel and know Jesus. That's 0.07% of the population. That's very few Christians. And when you go there, when you live there, you feel the difference. You feel the lack of Christians having lived for generations and loved people, faithfully living out their lives as the Lord wills. You feel it. And when we first landed, I was so excited. I had made plans for the Estonian language. 2 years, I said. The fifth hardest language in the world for English speakers. We're going to conquer this language in 2 years, I said. Yes. And we passed two out of three tests right now, like as we speak. We failed spectacularly on the last one. It was wonderful. It's very humbling. But it's a hard language. My plans didn't work out. We made plans with a local Estonian church to walk with them for a season as we learned the language, do a church plant to see more Estonians reached. And unfortunately, we discovered, as we were walking with them, we discovered that there was some theology in the church that was really dangerous. It made it impossible for us to partner with them for a church plant. And that was so discouraging for us, because we had plans. We had plans. We had no plans for a Bible study. But there was another missionary friend there who said, "Let me just use your house. Let me use your apartment. We're going to start a Bible study in Tallinn, and I'll run it. You just have to open the doors, and it'll be fine." So he starts bringing these young Estonian people into the house and teaching them the Bible. And about 6 months into it, he said, "Okay, we're going home. You carry on." Oh, thanks. We had no plans for that. But today, there's probably about 12 Estonians who are involved in that group, who week in and week out, they come to the group every Wednesday night, and they're desperate to learn about God's Word. We just finished Leviticus the week before we came here. It was awesome. It was amazing. And today, or this week, while we're here, we've got three Estonian young men who are taking on the responsibility of leading that group. So it hasn't stopped because we left. It's amazing to see what God is doing. But we had no plans for that. One Friday evening, when it was probably about 6 months in, one Friday evening, I had plans for a quiet evening with the family. I don't know if you've ever planned for quiet. It's a glorious thing when it works out. Planning for it's not bad, but I had plans. I took out the trash. Lisa was cooking dinner, and I walked into our building, and I had been praying, Lord, let us meet some of our neighbors, because Estonia is a very quiet place. People are very cold. They're very distant. It's hard to meet your neighbors. It's really difficult. So this young man walks in behind me, and I turn around. I say, hey, do you live here? We got to talking. It turned out he was one of our neighbors. And I said, well, you're a 21-year-old young man. You don't have any plans tonight. Why don't you come over for dinner? So he came in. He eats his food. And he says, well, I've never done this before. Do I leave now? Do I leave now? And I said, well, you're not a prisoner. You can be here, or you can leave if you like. But also feel free to stay for some coffee. And he stayed for 3 hours, played with our kids. We started having weekly conversations with this young man. And he became a very close friend to our family. And about 2 years later, after a long story that I'll share some other time, he came to faith. He came to Jesus. And it was amazing because he said, I was baptized as a baby. I was baptized in the Lutheran church. I went through the confirmation, mostly for the gifts, because at the end of those, you get money and gifts. And I went through the confirmation, but nobody had ever sat down with me to talk about God with me. Who's going to tell my mom? That was his question. So I said, you are. You are. You're the person. He eventually moved back to Finland, and he is excited to see what God is going to do in his country with his family. Maybe they'll respond, maybe they won't. But his question was, who's going to go? And the amazing thing is, even though like our plans haven't worked out the way we planned them, God is telling his story in Estonia. God is telling his story in Estonia, not the Brandon story, right? And those are two very different stories. God's story is much better than my story. But so often we can all find ourselves living like the man in our passage today, James 4, 13 through 14. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, engage in business, and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I can be like that. Come, let's move to Ireland. We're going to help plant a church. And after a while, after working in the ministry, the church will be huge and we'll plant other churches and this and that and the other. It's not a bad plan, but that wasn't what God had planned. We all make plans. We like plans. I don't know if you've ever made plans like I've made plans. I'm going to work at such and such company for 5 years. Then I'm going to get a promotion. I'm going to invest in my portfolio. Then I'll work for another 10 years until I get another promotion. And then I'll retire 10 years early so I can retire early and play golf. I'm going to graduate high school next year. Then I plan on taking a gap year. I'm going to go and find myself. And then I will attend such and such a university. I'll start my career and I'll start a family. And here's my plan, my life plan, all laid out. The famous five-year plan. Others of us will plan things like, tomorrow I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. I'm going to cook breakfast, get the kids to school by 8 a.m. I'm going to hit my favorite coffee spot by 9. Lay the baby down to nap by 1, and then I'm going to do pickup at 3. Just on the spot. Now, notice with me, the passage that we're reading isn't against making plans. Plans aren't a bad thing. It's normal. It's natural for us to make plans. I think God designed for us to plan for the future. But the way we set our plans is important. The important portion in our passage is verse 14. It says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. For you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. For many of us, we make plans, and if things go wrong, we become distraught. We become despondent or depressed. Man, my plans are falling apart. My life is over. What am I going to do? Have you ever felt like that? I have. We feel like things are over, like we're complete failures. I had this plan for my kids, but now one of them is sick and the whole day is ruined. I had this plan for my career and my company has just laid me off and my life is over. What will I ever do? We're all called to submit ourselves to God, to humble ourselves before the Lord. That's the second part of this passage. It said in verse 15, it says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. So what is the evil boasting? As we read through this, it's making plans as if you were God. It's making plans as if you are the one who is in control. As if you were the one who is sovereign. And this is leading into our second point, if you're keeping track. But as we make our plans, the way we make our plans is important. That's what James is correcting here in this passage. As we plan, Lord willing, we're going to live life and do this or that. Jesus also told a parable of a rich man who made plans beyond his identity. James writes that you're like a vapor. You're here today and gone tomorrow. What control do you have over your future? Tomorrow's not guaranteed for you. And Jesus also told a parable like this in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. Jesus told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. That's a good thing, right? Productive land. It's very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for yourself, stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. And as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? Such is the one who stores up a treasure for himself and is not rich in relation to God. This man in the parable makes plans as if he is in control of tomorrow. I'm going to do all these things and then I will relax and I will eat and I will drink. Instead of living with a rich relationship with God, God says, you fool. You fool. You see, if I were to go to a country like Estonia and consider the 1.3 million people there, the number of people in Estonia who will be born, who will live a full life, and who will die without ever hearing the good news of Jesus can be staggering. And so it's a small country. 1.3 million people is not that many people. There's more people in Seattle than there is in Estonia. It's not a giant place. Most of the people in Tallinn, the main city of Estonia, they'll see churches on the skyline. If you go to downtown Tallinn, there are beautiful old churches. Ancient churches. The steeples mark the skyline in a very unique, beautiful way. If you ever come visit us, I'll tell you the story of all the churches. They might visit a Christian or a Christmas concert held inside of a church. That's very normal. They only go to church in Christmas because there's beautiful music playing, and Estonians love music. They might wander into the St. Nicholas Cathedral, which is Santa Claus's first church, if you didn't know. So the story goes. But it's now an art museum, and it holds beautiful art. But in all these places, they might go, they might encounter, they might see churches, they might see the effect of Christianity without ever hearing the message of Christianity. And that is the story of Estonia. Estonia is a land that was once, that was Christianized by crusades, but they were never evangelized. They were Christianized. Christianity was forced upon them through the edge of a sword, but they never had people engage them with the gospel en masse. It's not to say that there aren't Christians there, but it is a place where people have rejected the labels of religion. We don't want to be known as Christian. We don't want to be known as Buddhist. We don't want to be known as Islamic. We are our own people. And what that means is we are secular. They wear their badge of secular proudly, while underneath, they are searching answers, spiritual answers, from every place that they can find it. So everybody knows a witch. New Age spirituality is thriving in Estonia. Karma and reincarnation are common conversations that we have. And there's a huge push back to paganism, the worship of nature, the working of magic. How arrogant would it be for me to look at this situation and say, hey, I'm the answer. Follow my 7-step plan, and we're going to solve this issue. We're going to solve this lostness. But often in our planning, our strategizing, in our evangelism, we're tempted to silently believe that exact thing. I'm the answer. I will just go to Old Town in Tallinn. I'm going to do some evangelism. And when people come to faith, I'm going to plant a church. And then that means I just need to talk to 1,000 people, because 1 in 100 people, when they hear the gospel presented to them, they will respond. And that means after about a year, I'll be able to plant a church, right? It's beautiful. It's perfect. My plan is foolproof. James says, all such boasting is evil. Making plans as if I am God, without acknowledging that maybe God has a different path. Maybe God has a better plan than my plan. We can be like the farmer in the parable as well. I'm just going to move to the Tri-Cities. I'm going to work for a while. I'm going to raise my family. I'm going to die at a ripe old age after a satisfying retirement. Right? There's nothing wrong with retiring. There's nothing wrong with living and raising a family and living a quiet, faithful life. Those are beautiful things. But so often we treat our life like a video game. We control it. We earn experience points. We level up in life. But like the man in Jesus' parable, we can be building barns. We can be increasing our capacity. We can be developing our wealth, becoming successful, with no mind to the fact that tomorrow our life will be required of us. All of our plans, they're built on our pride, on our sovereignty, they're meaningless. We hold our plans so tightly that when God moves, when God does something to build his church, his kingdom, the family he has given you to steward, we miss it because we live our lives like they're uninterruptible. I've got this plan for Friday night. I'm going to have a quiet night. I'm going to do what I want to do on this Friday night. And then someone walks in behind you. Right? Maybe, Lord willing, I'm going to have a quiet night tonight. Right? Maybe, Lord willing, I'm going to go to work this week. Maybe, Lord willing, I'm going to move to Estonia and work in the ministry. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I mean, who plans for cancer? Nobody plans for cancer. No, nobody is like, yeah, next month I'm going to have cancer. Who plans to be laid off? Who plans to be bankrupt? Who wakes up and says, I plan for my day to be terrible? I'm tomorrow my day is going to spiral out of control because my car won't start, my kids are going to rebel, my spouse is going to be grumpy, and my dog is going to vomit all over the floor. No one plans these things. And that's the point. That's the point. You are not in control. You are not sovereign, and neither am I. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And this is the lesson that when we moved to Estonia, I could have told you the theology of this. I could have explained this in theory, right? I could have taken you to this passage and walked you through the passage. This is what it means. But I think over the past 3.5 years, Lisa and I have had to live it. And this is part of our experience in Estonia. And it's been encouraging to us, and my hope and my prayer is that it will also be encouraging to you. Because, again, it's not that our plans are bad, but our plans need to be subjected to God's will. He will get the glory of the plan that he is working out among the nations, not some normal guy who was sent to Tallinn, right? He is going to get the glory for Grace Bible Church in Tallinn, which is the church I helped pastor with one guy from Uganda and one guy from India. It's a wonderful little congregation. We aren't going to get the glory for that. God is going to get the glory for building his church in Tallinn. God is going to get the glory for Grace Church here in Pasco, right? God is going to get the glory for Reliance Fellowship. These things don't happen because we're so cool, but actually God grows his church and accomplishes his will through people and in spite of people's weaknesses, in spite of our sin, in spite of our selfishness and our arrogance. God is doing his work, and he allows us to be a part of that. The encouragement in our verse is found in verse 15. We'll start at 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor that appears for a while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. And then there's a warning. But as it is, you will boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for one who does the right thing and who knows the right thing and does not do it, for him it is a sin. So we should not boast in our arrogance, but rather humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledging and seeking his will done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to illustrate this briefly by considering a moment of human history before turning our attention to the last point. Acts 8, verse 1 through 4. Now, Stephen had just been killed, and verse 1 says, now Saul approved of putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem began. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and mourned for him loudly, but Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and he would drag away the men and the women and put them in prison. And verse 4 says, therefore those who had been scattered went through places preaching the word. I mean, the church had been established. Jesus had ascended. And Stephen, the first martyr, gets taken before the court. He gets convicted. They throw stones at him until he's dead. And Paul, here known as Saul, begins persecuting the church. Who plans for persecution? Nobody. Nobody plans for persecution. I mean, imagine being one of these Christians. Your family had just gotten together the perfect supplies for a Christian hummus shop in Jerusalem. And you were expecting another baby. Your 3-year-old is learning how to have friends. And you're living life. You're worshiping. You're going to church. You've got a beautiful Christian family. And then you hear the wails. You hear the screaming. You hear people breaking down doors, coming from house to house, arresting Christians and killing them. That's a terrible situation. That doesn't fit into anybody's plans. But notice what happens in verse 4. As the people are scattered, they go about preaching the word. They go about preaching the gospel. And this is one of the primary ways in the New Testament that we see the gospel going forth into the nations, is because people's plans were interrupted. God allowed this persecution. Historically, the church has sent missionaries around the world to proclaim the gospel in places that have no churches, no access to the gospel, no means of knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But have you heard about how Christianity came to the Viking tribes of Scandinavia? It came through slaves. Right? The Viking tribes, they would go and they would raid. They would take people as captives, not knowing that they were Christians. They didn't really care. They took them and they put them in their boats. They sailed them all the way back to Scandinavia, to their tribes. And Christians ended up in these tribes. And what did they do amongst the Vikings? They preached the gospel. Their plans were very interrupted. Nobody plans to be taken as a slave and carted off by the Vikings. Nobody plans that, right? That's a bad day. But they went and they proclaimed the gospel. Those are two very different types of going. And this brings us to our third and final point today. Because when we talk about the Lord's will, God's will for our lives, oftentimes we can leave that as very abstract. What has God planned for me? What is God's will for my life? So I want to point out three quick points that we know that God has told us about his will for your life. The first one is Romans 8, 28 through 30. We can flip there quickly. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." So God's will for your life is to be conformed into the image of his Son. That's what he's got planned for you. He is going to conform you into the image of his Son. If you are a believer, submitted your life to Jesus, you've repented of your sins, and you're following after Jesus, this is one of the primary things that he's going to work in your life. Would God use hard times to shape you and mold you into the image of his Son? Yeah, he would. Absolutely, he would. Would he use a hard time to turn your heart to him through sickness, the death of a loved one? Would he shape and mold your character through a season of poverty? Absolutely. God can turn these bad things, these hard things, into something that is good because he is creator. And his desire is that you are going to be conformed, transformed into the image of his Son. So that's the first thing. And often we don't plan for that. We should. Our goal should be to be more like Christ. But oftentimes our plans, they get interrupted. God has a different way of making you into the image of his Son. If you're taking notes, you can jot this one down. God's will is that he gets the glory for his creation, for the plan of redemption, and from his church. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, that is Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So God is the one who brings Jesus back from the dead by the blood of the eternal covenant. God does that work. Jesus is the great shepherd. God is the one who equips and enables the saints to do his work. And Jesus is the one who gets the glory. God's will is that his creation, the things that he builds, the things that he redeemed, you guys, me, the saints in Estonia, that we would glorify him. Oftentimes we don't plan for that. We should, but we don't. Lastly, this is beautiful. God's will is that a great multitude from every nation, tribe, and people, and language are going to be standing before his throne worshiping. This is the last passage. It's in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10. It's a picture of the end. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Isn't that beautiful? People from every tribe, nation, people group, and language standing before the throne worshiping. This is God's will that this picture would happen. He gave us a snapshot in the scriptures to be able to see where humanity is heading. And I know that there's going to be an Estonian group in that crowd. There's going to be an American group in that crowd. And I hope I get to stand on the line of the two groups, right? Worshiping in English and worshiping in Estonia. It'll be a beautiful thing. I won't get the glory for the Estonians who are going to be there. God has made a way for people to come to him. The same way that he made a way for you to come to him. And I can't wait to hear the day where the Estonian people are right there alongside me crying out to God in their beautiful, really difficult language. And they're going to cry out, Pasta on mea jumalal, kes istub tronil yatalel. That's how you say, I lost it. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Right, they're going to be worshiping in their language. So here in about 2 months, Lord willing, we're going to return. We're going to continue making plans to see more Estonians engaged with the gospel. We're going to be making plans to help make evangelism resources available in Estonian, Latvian, Lithuanian, Russian, English, and maybe Finnish, I don't know. We're going to be making plans to see an Estonian-facing church planted out of the church that we're a part of now. God has called us to a very interesting little corner of the world. And he is telling his story there. But these are our plans. Genuinely, we have no idea where we're going to be in 4 or 5 years. I have no idea if these plans are going to work. I have no idea how God is going to build his church in Estonia. It'd be cool if it was using some of the things that we're doing. And I think he's going to use us for his glory there. But I don't know if my plans are what God has planned. So Lord willing, we're going to be doing these things. But we can trust the Estonian people to God, knowing that he will accomplish his purposes. But there's a challenge here. If you aren't a Christian today, if you haven't submitted your life to the Lord, if you haven't turned from your sin, if you haven't humbled yourself before God, it's important to do that. It's important to not live your life as if you were sovereign. You're not. Maybe tonight your life will be required of you. Submit to Christ and repent of your sin. That's the message we carry to Estonia, and the message here is not different. None of us, Christian or non-Christian, can control our own destiny. The only hope that we can have in life and in death is to be found with Christ at the end. For the believer, are there things in your life that you're holding on to too tightly? Do you have plans? Are you making plans as if you were in control? Do you find yourself spiraling every time something goes wrong? Are you tempted by the pride of life and success, ignoring the fact that your life may be required of you tomorrow? Stop it. Stop it. It's worth stopping and spending some time in prayer, talking about your plans with your Christian brothers and sisters, making plans that will glorify God, and saying, Lord willing, this is how my life is going to go, knowing that your God, who is in charge of your life, who you have trusted everything with, is the one who is going to direct your steps. And that's good. His plans are way better than your plans. His plans are way better than my plans. So some of us need to pause and remember that Lord willing is not just a saying. It's not just a saying. We can say things in Christian circles, right? And we can build this into a part of our speech without actually living it. Maybe some of us here are going to be called to international missions. And you're on one trajectory. You've got one plan for your life. And God is going to, like me, uproot you and completely change the path of your life. That would be a great thing. It might not feel like great all the time and as you're living through it, but it's a great thing. Maybe some of you are planning on going somewhere, and God is going to root you here for the rest of your life. And maybe that's what God has willed for your life, planned for your life, to glorify him. And you're going to live a quiet, faithful life as a Christian here in Pasco or in the Tri-Cities. Maybe there's an opportunity in your neighborhood to reach someone with the gospel if your plans were a little more uninterruptible. I'll say that again. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood who can be reached with the gospel if your plans are a little bit more interruptible. Often, God's plan for our lives is not what we would have chosen. We didn't necessarily set out choosing the path that we've lived. But trusting God with our future and allowing him to guide our steps is part of the Christian walk. And that's a challenge not just for us as missionaries. That's a challenge for every person who is Christian, who is being sent out into their local community. I mean, are there circles of people here in the Tri-Cities who are born and who live their life without encountering Christians? It's a little bit more difficult to do in the Tri-Cities, but it's possible. Pastor Adam said I was working as a fatherhood coordinator before we went out to Estonia, and we encountered guys there in the Tri-Cities every single day, guys and gals, who would never set foot inside a church. They need Christians to go to them, engage them where they are. Making plans on how we reach out in truth and in love to the witches of the Tri-Cities, the LGBTQ community, gang members, business people, all those here in the Tri-Cities who do not yet know Jesus. That's a good thing. Lord willing, they will be reached through whatever God puts in your hands. That's a good thing. But this needs to be a challenge that each of us pause and consider. What plans have you made? Are you living, Lord willing? Are you ministering according to God's will for your life? Every person, every Christian is called to that. Not just the missionaries, not just the pastors. This is the normal Christian life. So when we go back, we're going to be calling people to Christ. We're going to be encouraging them with the same message, the same gospel that we have here in the Tri-Cities. And Lord willing, God will continue to build his church there. At the same time, you guys are working and ministering here, and God is building his church here. It's a beautiful thing as God tells his story amongst the different corners of the world. And he will get the glory. And one day there will be a great multitude of witnesses standing before the throne saying, "Salvation belongs to the Lamb." And may he get all of the glory that he is due from his creation. So as we all are encouraged and challenged by this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, we praise you for the work that is being done in Estonia. We thank you and we praise you for the people who have come to know you in Estonia, that this is not a country that has no Christians, no church, but Lord, that you have sustained the church in Estonia, that you have been working to preserve those who are believers there, and that you are continuing to build your church. Lord, we pray for the Estonian people, Lord, that there would be a huge multitude, more of them saved. Lord, I pray for our family that you would continue to use us there. But Lord, I just want to thank you for Grace Church. I want to thank you for the people here, for the way that they have prayed for us, for the way that they have partnered with us. Lord, I pray that you continue building the church here as well. Lord, I pray that as we all make plans, Lord, that you would interrupt our plans. I pray that you would that you would continue working your will out in our lives, that you would conform us all into the image of your Son, that you would use us in the ministry that you have planned, that you would equip us and make us ready for these things. Lord, and we pray that ultimately you would get all of the glory from your creation. Lord, we are excited for the day that we stand before your throne and worship you. And Lord, we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.